the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late. Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Thanks, Elgin. Welcome to part two of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show this week. It's Tuesday afternoon, November 27th, if my calendar is correct. And I'm here with Minda.
Yeah, you are.
Joining us.
I'm back.
Back. And back for his second day, Randy Vega.
What's up? What's up?
You made a guy. He's here 2 days in a row, this guy.
I mean, that's what when you said part two, I was thinking, is this like part two of like the Randy Vega week on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show? I'm not sure what you guys covered yesterday. I was in a meeting when you aired. But
so you didn't watch the show?
No, I am. Or listen? I watch it religiously unless I have a business obligation.
I messaged you intentionally because I was proud to be on here, and then thanks.
Yeah.
Good job.
She doesn't give a shit about you, dude. Anyway, right. Look at
I
her.
Mean,
she's,
if
she's,
I really didn't make a point to listen to it when I was on the show.
Dean Gassard, my buddy Dean was Dean Gassard, who's on Facebook while I watch this now. He's the first one every time here.
He's
ready to go.
That's
he's not even complaining that we started basically about 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late. We're going to, I guess we should do 5 o'clock and 5:30. Just make them solid
makes
and work
sense.
Around that hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, well. You look at her. She
makes... Well, this is the thing, okay? Just from a marketing perspective,
right. All right?
All I'm saying is that a lot of people aren't in front of a computer between 5 and 5:30. They're commuting someplace.
Somewhere, yeah.
So I would say it's either for audience purposes to be more engaged earlier or later. I don't know if that's an option, but I'm just saying from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, all right.
I get it from a work perspective. It's a nice way
to... So we should do Monday, Tuesdays at 5:30.
Okay.
I would even do 6 on Tuesday.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's the point she's trying to make is if you push it later or earlier, but like 5 o'clock is the main hour people are traveling.
Yeah, I get it. It's not many people are sitting there going, I'm home early.
But now they can listen to us if they're streaming it audio
whatever.
Live.
I don't listen to people
radio.
Watching us or listening to the podcast. If you did it one way or the other, that's all I care about.
Hey, for the record, I hate the camera. I used to be able to come in here looking like a hot mess. I still look like a hot mess, except one that
now let me ask you a
is
question.
A more aware
let me ask you a
of
question.
Her hot messness.
Now, I've been through this, so I want to ask you from my perspective, from your point of view, in that, you know, when you started doing the show here years ago and we met, you were single, right?
I was.
You were single, and like any guy, I asked myself that question. If I was single, would you what?
I'm not putting my foot in my mouth now, dude. Go ahead, bro.
I'm just saying, like if you meet a single girl and you're single, isn't your first thing?
Oh,
you
what I hit? Yeah,
yeah, would you hit it? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
like
and she always, she always looked nice, you know. But then my point is that now that you have a boyfriend, Mr. Dan Lawton, now that you have a regular boyfriend, are you basically got to the point where you're like. I'm not throwing that shit out there anymore.
You got to get it right.
I don't give a fuck if I walk out.
No way,
it's not boyfriend
man.
Anymore.
Not at all.
Fiance. Yeah.
Oh no. When the situation is demands hotness, you got to do what
you got to throw down.
You just got me coming to a podcast during rush hour in South Florida, so there's a lot of timing issues for me that I.
Well,
you mentioned
how I had brought you here, but I think the time we suggested was your suggestion.
What 4:30?
Yeah,
yeah.
I
thought people other had jobs and stuff. I could be here whenever 2 o'clock. I could be here.
She keeps going earlier, man.
Yeah,
like as if
you want to do 6:30. Listen, something to think about.
Marketing. We even thought about on the show, since we have a show on Monday. A day later, not that much happens. So if we try to do it on either on that Wednesday or that Thursday.
Either or. You know,
then now you have a few more days. You can find out more shit happened.
Well, people are typically most engaged.
That might work.
Tuesday, Wednesdays.
It might work if you got a couple days in between.
Do you hear me? Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are when people are most engaged. So that's why people drop newsletters on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings.
Right. Uh-huh. And you don't send avails to client comedy bookers on Monday.
Typically.
Yeah, you don't. Unless, of course, they really like you and they know you, and it's pretty much. And then by that time, you're probably calling.
So what day would you send it in?
I would send mine on Wednesdays.
Okay. All right. Learned something new just now.
Wednesdays. Wednesdays.
Like it's,
it's the heart of what you just said, right?
I agree.
More shit gets done on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That is the days where you're doing shit.
Also,
that's,
if you're
you know, that's when you're, you know, that's when you're getting, okay, by Friday, you're like, I already know, fucking, I'm done.
Yeah, you're trying to get everything done so you don't have to worry about the weekend.
Monday, you're like, oh, God, you keep thinking about the last weekend.
All right, so you got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then people will most see your stuff when they're sitting on the toilet way early in the morning. But we ain't going to be here at fucking 7 a.m. to do
this
show.
Way.
The next time is when they go to lunch. And then the third time is a soft little spot around 3:30, 4 o'clock when they tune out because
they're
prepping to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, so they're at
work. Then they're in the car right now.
And so then
usually my moment when I check out is like halfway through the day. I don't even make it to the afternoon. I check out of work.
You never come back after lunch.
No, when I'm at lunch, I walk back in physically, but mentally I'm
ready to sleep. That like Spanish siesta, like, oh, fuck, it's midday, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to cut out.
Yeah, I don't.
I had that today. I had to go to do shit. I posted on my Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. I met some people at my day job at the Perry Ellis main location out in South Miami.
Okay, but you weren't actually meeting with Perry Ellis.
No,
just at the Perry Ellis building.
I was meeting a very high person up there who's a client of mine.
Yeah, that's why they're at a dope building like that, right?
It's like Dougie's being
famous. Oh, yeah. I had to wait. You know, I had to go and.
Oh, you were greeted, I'm sure, by security.
Yeah, had to wait his turn. Credentials, the whole nine.
Exactly.
They did a retinal scan.
I asked for. I wanted to be very thorough. I'm like, hey, get the chick with the small hands over here.
I'm going
to
need a prostate exam.
Two fingers.
As well.
Two fingers. Not one. Two.
I got some shitty insurance, so make sure it's me and just make sure my prostate's okay.
All right. How many times you want me to cough? All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Doctor drop and cough. Well, good, man. You know, she's good. You know.
No, what? Don't you want your wife to get hot for you?
Listen, I already mentioned this. My wife's doing fantastic. She looks great. She's in great shape. God bless her. You know, God bless. You know, she works sometimes on Tuesday, Thursdays, and on Saturdays. You know what I mean? So I mean, it's like, you know, I am working my job, and then of course I'm doing this, and then of course I'm running around booking comedy, You know, The only time I'm not working is when I come home at night, whatever I'm doing, and I chill out and I play some online poker.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm going like a machine.
I don't think I ever get a chance to relax during the day until I put my head down that pillow and I just zone out, pass out. Like
I'm a Rumpel. What's this guy? Which one was Rumpelstiltskin? Was a sleepy one or the fucking Rip Van Winkle? Winkle, I call him Wrinkle.
That one,
Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah,
was a sleepy guy.
The one who slept.
That guy.
Slept.
Yep,
okay,
whatever that was.
I used to call my dick Rip Van Wrinkle when I did a lot of cocaine. All right,
that
was my name for my dick and my coke dick. I called it Rip Van Wrinkle.
This guy.
There's a few chicks back then that said, "I heard that's what he was talking about." At any rate, you were talking about something. You were talking about comedy scene before the show, because before the show we get together here at Danger Studios. And we hang out
back.
Yeah,
we compare notes. We talk about the news of the day. We get very prepared for the podcast, right? I would say we're extremely prepared.
We light up the
podcast.
Information.
Yeah.
Right? And we take it all in.
Pretty much.
You know what I'm saying?
We have the intern come in and brief us on all the research that Dougie's had him do for the day.
We bring the package in of the information.
And then we pet Doug's dog, and he barks a little bit, and then we get started.
And that's it. Yep. But we were talking about something I thought was interesting. You said you made the open mics as a comic, and I've been getting to more and more of them because I'm working on stuff but you made a point, like, if I don't go to an open mic, that if I decide I'm not going to do any open mics this week, I'm going to drink 80% less alcohol than I'll drink normally in that week.
Yes. Right? Yes. And I was making that point. And it was just one of those things that I think this is the difference. One, right. I do want to clarify that if you are pursuing stage time and yeah. featuring and headlining,
become an alcoholic.
You yeah. definitely need to go to open mics. Like, yeah. I don't, like, if you're out there yeah, and you're soliciting it. Yourself as a comedian and trying to get work, I should see your yeah. face doing new fucking material at an yeah, open mic. That's much. The way it is, okay? But that being said, I think when you get to that level, you really have to stop considering the open mic as a social event.
Right.
And consider start looking at like work. Yeah. And would you drink when you go to work? Now, see, what I've done is I've been putting some of my time and efforts into other ventures.
Right.
So I've had to pick or choose where I want to allot at? My time. That's taken me away from open yeah. mics. And that's equated to me drinking drastically less because I was still treating them as a social hour.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. It's tough to I be a comic like, I didn't go and to... be in a bar and be hanging out.
Yeah, can I have
you don't
a
have
water?
To be drunk.
Yeah.
Because that's what you think. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just going to have a couple. And that's well, even, like, even I mean, when you do.
To each their own, because like I personally, I don't really drink, period. Like I only drink if it's like a social hangout that's not yeah. a comedy. Like
mm-hmm. right.
One of the first... tidbits I got is like, hey, if you're gonna go do your time, do your time. You're that's what you're there for. You know, you hang out with your friends and stuff, but you don't have to get mixed up and get lost in the sauce. Do your time, make sure you do your time, and then go.
Well, we know that happens. If you get there's people that are there for the social aspect of yeah. it. There's like people that went to school just to hang out with people between classes.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean when you think about it. And then you got to do that. And I've already mentioned this on the show before. If you're going to an open mic, please bring some prepared material or something you want. Have some sort of plan of action.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the people that are going up there doing crowd work or are not doing shit or they're just doing the same fucking jokes they've been doing for the last few years anyway, you know, you're like, I don't think you understand why we're here, you know. And yeah. they're there for the social aspect. But I was going to, like, when you mentioned that, it was to me, it was like, there was a few days, like, I've just been on, obviously, been crazy on the road and doing shit. I'm like, oh, I wanted to go. I wanted to go on the Wednesday before I went to Colorado. I wanted to go to the Buddha. And then the first thing I thought, I was like, man, if I go there, I'm going to drink 3 or 4 beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah I'm not going to. And it's not about getting drunk. Yeah. I mean, I could drink 3 or 4 beers and, you know, still say the alphabet.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, but I'm thinking now it's like, it's more of like I'm going, okay, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to make it a social event.
But like, because see, another thing with me too, though, another reason why I don't drink is I have to get up at the crack of dawn every single day.
Yeah, well,
and like as soon as I'm done, I want to get out of there and go home and get sleep because that's a rarity.
Yeah,
for me, as how much as I work, so it's not necessarily me saying like it's a social thing, but like,
yeah, see, I can wake up whenever I want. I have see, all yeah, the reason the, in the you whole can enjoy world. That. Yeah, yeah, I'm my really own boss. That. Like, I don't. It's what you're talking about, where like. Now I'm going out, even though it's social, you're actually doing your material yeah, yeah. in the process of you're having 2 or 3 drinks. Mm-hmm. You're not getting sloshed. You're not like, oh, I can't drive. Right. You know, it's not like that.
No, no,
but
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now
definitely.
You're having those 2 or 3 drinks. Right.
And the time
and then
passes.
And then multiply that by 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money out of your pocket. Yeah.
It's a lot of money. It's
especially since some of these places ain't cheap either. They are not cheap.
And not only that, I mean, I'm looking at it like, you know, you're talking about looking good when we started the show, like trying to maintain, like my wife does yoga 2 or 3 times. We work out together Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings. Like tomorrow morning, I actually got one of my clients passed away. So I'm going to go see them and have to do a lot of important stuff. So I can't, even my wife says, oh, you're not going to work out tomorrow? I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, don't make me feel, but this is my schedule. I can only do it. I'm trying to do it. Well, she'll go to that, and then she'll go to the yoga like 4 times. And, you know, and she looks great. You know, I don't, I'm like trying to
fucking. You better keep up, bro.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm like, I want to do it. You know, I'm dedicated to do it, but I got shit to do as well. You know, it'd be great, but that's the trade off. That's why I'm saying, okay, well, guess what? If I'm not getting to the gym as often, I can't go sit there and suck down a few, you know, blonde ales.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose your battles in a couple.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to be, if I'm not doing one or the other.
I get it.
You know?
We try to satisfy that by now we ride our bikes to happy hour.
Yeah.
That's our bikes to and from. Like, we'll ride it to the beach. We'll hang out at the beach. We'll ride up Atlantic, yeah. whatever. So, you know, maybe we get in a few miles that day.
Yeah. See, I actually just started doing the whole dieting thing with a bunch of other comics, and I dropped like 16 pounds. But bam. I'm starting to notice, like, leaving the mics at night, and I'm already hungry. I'm like, oh, it's McDonald's. Oh, it's a Wendy's. No, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. It's like,
yeah.
But, like, if I could hang out afterwards, oh, man, I'd be drunk every night. It's insane.
Yeah, well, so I thought it was interesting that when you think about it, you're worrying about one thing. I want to get on stage. I want to work on stuff. But then, you know, realize that, you know.
Well, you're sitting in a bar, I don't know.
I mean, I can get a bottle. 90%
of the time. Yeah. Sometimes
you, 5%
of the time.
You can be waiting a while sometimes before you get up.
I can get a bottle, especially, yeah. Maybe you're sitting at the booty.
You're either eating or you're drinking.
Yeah.
And that's, it's one of the two.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of drinking and stuff, I don't know if I admitted this on the show, but I don't like to take the chances of, like, you know, carrying or bringing marijuana or drugs on a plane.
Yeah.
And but when you're coming from Colorado,
yes,
and when your eyes are bigger than your time frame, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a lot of, when I got there, I landed in Denver. I went to the dispensary and got like five packs of, you know, pre-rolls. And
isn't Denver great?
It's the best.
Everyone so nice? I get like, so it's like they're aliens.
Yeah,
although I've heard, so I want to go. I heard it's a creepy nice, or it's just like, this can't be real.
No, but even
it's like a very North Korea nice, where you think for a second, like, is somebody forcing them to be nice, and you know what? They're really that nice, and it's not because of the weed. I think they're just, you know, nice outdoor. You know, there's
because
like,
they're not stressed out.
Yep, there's no fat people in Denver. Nobody's fat.
I wouldn't
in Denver.
Say that.
No,
I wouldn't say that.
There is no.
Yeah,
fat
there
people
are fat people there.
No.
Yeah, they're fat people. A lot of the chicks.
Dougie, when were you
no
there?
Way.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay,
that
so
is
a couple
incorrect.
Weeks ago.
Yeah,
there's a big guy
you,
there.
Listen, okay. Every bud tender, eight out of the nine women bud tenders I've had, you know, swap down a Philly cheesesteak at midnight. Okay,
bro, Colorado is the most
I get it
fit
because,
state
because,
in the union.
I get it because these people run up and down the stairs and the air's thin. But at the same time, you know, don't say that. You know, I mean, like I said, at any rate, yeah, I just, it's great when you go there. Now, they get a little attitude. Like, these bud tenders think they're fucking, like, say, you know, curing the world's ails.
Yeah.
They're like, they cured cancer. They're like, if you ask a question about something, like, well, you know, it's like, listen, I don't spend my whole fucking day around weed to know every fucking thing.
Where were you? I had the total opposite
experience. That's what
experience.
I'm saying. This last particular chick.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, it depends. Like, what do you mean? Well, just can you fucking... But hey, either way, there's nothing better than going up there, and I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like, look at these boxes, you know, like a box of just pre-rolls, nice and individual packages.
It's just there for the
and then, you know, and then you're like, okay. And it's got the cardboard filter, which makes it great. You're not burning your finger on the roach, and you know, and it's nice, and it's just, and you smoke it, and it's, and you're like, wow, this is great.
It's like candy to a baby when you're there.
Yeah. And then, oh, do I want a pen? Sure, I'll take a pen. You know, why not? It's got its own battery.
Oh, my God. I spent
the wax.
So much money on
it. Oh, this one is pineapple. This one tastes like pineapple.
I can picture you were pretty much, like, on it the whole time.
And it was
time.
Hardly any flour, too. It was all stuff to take home, right. Like edibles and the,
now you
the
said,
oil.
Now, you said, here's the interesting part. I had taken edibles on the plane before because this is when my wife and I were there, and we got a bunch of the gummies. And there was a bunch left, but we bought a pack of like Rainbow bubble gum.
Yeah.
And we took it, we popped out the bubble gum balls, obviously, and put them in another bag or whatever. And then we took all the fucking things and stuck them in the bag and put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy. But when I had the flour.
Yeah.
Like I had three packs. I only smoked a pack of them.
That's
pack
a little more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it doesn't
but
just
I,
look like
but
food.
But I was emboldened by the club owner and some people from Colorado. Ah, they don't give a shit about that.
They
no
really,
one gives
they're
a fuck.
Looking for bombs and stuff. Let's get, you know what I did? And this is true story. I swear to God, in the line, I saw some Muslims ahead of me, like full head thing. I got behind them so quick in the x-ray line.
Yeah.
I swear I did.
That's so racist.
Like,
jeez.
No, but I just knew statistically if we're together.
And the whole time, Min is in line. She's looking at him like we're pointing a finger, like see something,
up.
Say something.
Look, I didn't have
I'm
to
just
point
saying.
A finger. Look, it's
just,
and this is the great
do I hear
thing
something ticking
about America, especially in a place as white as Denver. Yeah. You don't really even have to be Muslim or even Arab. If you just subscribe to a religion where you got something on your head and you're of olive skin, just get behind them in line.
Yeah.
Especially if you're white.
Tips by Minda.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
More
stay
coming
safe
soon.
With Minda. Yeah.
Stay tuned. I got more coming
on
the
left
travel
in this?
Tip. No, seriously.
We got another 40 minutes, 40, 50 minutes? Yeah. 50 minutes worth of Minda tips, guys.
Yeah.
It's gonna,
here it comes.
Minda's, yeah.
But, right.
You know what? No, I'm just glad I have the complexion I have because if that was the case and I was over there, because if that was me and Minda stands up behind me, I'm like, Minda, what are you doing? It's like, nothing. Take this.
You wouldn't have a weird fabric on your head.
That's a good idea. So, so if anybody with a turban sees Minda in fucking line,
oh man, you're behind her. Behind you.
You got to be first to declare. Like, in other words, if you worried about getting ratted out, the only way you get that beat that is when you rat them out.
Oh, no.
So, you got it. So
check the white girl's bags.
The guy's going to go, hey, that girl there, she's a pothead.
Right.
Yeah, she's God. She smokes the reefer. Yeah.
Thank God I'm doing this and not you guys. That's all I got to say. That is totally the wrong. It's like the first one who smelt it dealt it. Well, you do not want to even talk about it.
Listen,
you just want to kind of look cute and white next to
somebody
the most terroristic
looks like
person you can find in the line.
Yeah.
And look, if there's no people of color, just find a really weird person, someone talking loud, acting
So what
out.
If you were the weird person in line, though?
Yeah, what if all these people gathering around you?
What if just random Muslims, black, Spanish, all stand around you and they're like,
Minda's like, it's not supposed to work like that.
Yeah, you see a Spanish, like, hey, Minda, check that white girl,
gringa, la gringa.
Yeah, check it out, check it
out. Adorable one in line. And that's why they would all be flocking to help me get through security. And they also know that I would share my edibles.
They'd probably ask
when
you to put their stuff
the
in the bags
side.
To get
yeah,
it through.
Because
they'd be like, you know what, hey, you're white, just throw this in there, thanks.
I brought enough for everybody. Well, I had a pack. I actually gave a pack to the club owner.
All right.
And I had a pack left, like a little less than a pack. I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'm not going to throw these out. I'm taking them. I had my check bag.
Dougie Dangerous.
He's a rebel.
I'm telling you, I was nervous as fuck. I almost pulled over before
Get you.
Yeah,
you
I'm getting nervous.
You got to go through like you own the place, cool and comfortable.
And then I had my jacket I wear with a bunch of pockets. I rolled that up. And put it, like, in my bag, my merch bag.
Okay.
So it was amidst all the T-shirts, but it was wrapped, and it had that in the inside pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, please don't find it. And then I got home, and I was like, God, yeah, man. I got it. Now I have my these beautiful things to go. And then I was mad that I gave away that pack. I'm like, what is that, fucking idiot? I should have kept it.
That's a good test run. You got through one this time.
Yeah.
Now you're gonna go next time and try two. Don't just go full gust and be like, I got pounds of weed. Let's get through this shit. No.
Getting greedy.
And to be honest, you really didn't do that great of a job covering it up. That really shows the bare minimum of what they're looking for.
I went to that point where I was like, I don't want to make it look like I don't want to take like the air container, little plastic things they give you some of that stuff in. Like it's hair sealed, and you shut it like a little tube thing. I didn't want to put that in my because they see that, and the X-ray machine goes, "Oh, look, there's a tube with something in it."
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Minda's a pro on this.
We'll talk.
Yeah, Minda's going to tell us.
Minda, what's
time.
The next tip behind us? Smuggle drugs across.
Just try to keep it in your checked bag.
Yeah.
You don't want to carry on that shit.
The M in Minda stands for mule.
All right.
Oh my God.
By the way, isn't that a new Clint Eastwood movie that's
You're
coming out?
You're going to get me some heat. I'm not going to be able to fucking travel anywhere now.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
There's going to be pictures of Minda
everywhere.
I'm going to be on like some Bolo list. Like,
check this chick's luggage.
All right. Get her at the door. Don't let her through security.
Eat them fucking bubblegum balls.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Blowing up my spot.
Dude, it was... But I was just... It felt so good, you know, just to have it and do it. Now will I do it again? Will it embolden me to do it again?
Probably.
I don't know.
I think it will.
I don't know.
You're already talking about taking two packs instead of one.
I don't know about you, Dougie, but I am never going to do it again. No, I think it was wrong, and it is something
you
that
find
we should
God?
Take
Wait, hold on.
Really
is it shorting out?
I think seriously in the future.
Is that a flash of light? Or what happened?
I just, you know, you come to your senses after such a rest.
Right.
And you realize.
What was I thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What? How could I?
You
how
know,
could
light.
I?
Stage time's over.
Avoid the light.
Just, you know, I can't dishonor my country like
right.
that again. You know, that's what it comes down to. I'm a patriot. Just like you.
Yeah. I'm a patriot.
Oh, man, yeah.
I will not fog up the airways with weed.
That's it.
Yep. Sure.
I will keep it in the state in which I bought it. That's fine.
Yeah,
we can buy it everywhere now.
Yeah. Why don't you, at this point, it's
you
just,
don't have
can
to
we have
it
legal everywhere
it.
At this point?
They
well,
need
it
to.
Is.
I mean, some places they're still fighting, though.
It's just nuts. It's
not any place that I'm going to go. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, that's my next comedy tour. It's just the states that has legal
exactly.
allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God. How many people are putting that into their vacation choices now?
You would think. When it happened in Colorado, and then more people went to Oregon.
It's almost making Vegas look bearable again.
A lot of people are going to be mellowed out. Like, you know what? I'm going to walk the strip.
You know what? In Vegas.
Normal. I'm not going to. Yeah.
Vegas just opened the largest dispensary under air
in the country. I saw that.
Yeah. That's
and they had some big-ass ones, because you talk about nice service. When I was in Vegas a few months ago and I had gone, I went to this one. And before I left Vegas, before I was in New Mexico, I was heading to Mexico or something. I went there, nicest, you know, hey, like you said, welcome, you know, everybody's happy.
God,
they're hopped up on their own shit. That's
And they're like, anything else you want? And
right? Aren't they so passionate about selling you weed?
Could you imagine, think about this for a second.
So
could you imagine going, that's your day job. That's your job. Your job is to go to the dispensary all day.
And make people happy.
And
you know how annoying your supervisor has to be to make you want to quit that fucking job, though, if you ever want to quit?
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. Freaking Beth, fuck this bitch. I can't stand her.
She's such a pain in the ass.
She's trying to make me oversell people. It's like, hey, everyone's happy. It's like, I'm going to just leave this place.
She keeps asking me to bug people if they want to buy a lighter and a t-shirt.
Yeah, man. It's like, buy merch. No, they want weed.
Can I sell my weed? That's what I'm here for. No, you got to upsell.
You got to sell
socks with shoes. I remember I worked at Tom McCann when I was in college at Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to do something. I'd always done products, sold China and Crystal and advertising when I was in college.
Lame.
And I had a, it was. But listen, I made money because I would make like $30,000-$40,000 because I'm selling shit.
Probably
I get it.
So now I get a job. I said, fuck it. I'm going to get a record. I got a job, my only ever job at a shoe store. At Tom McCann.
Oh, the Young Al Bundy.
Well, see, your ish there is that you worked at Tom McCann.
Well,
Shoes are cool if you, like I went through a roll.
I don't think there was a Foot Locker and stuff, though, back in his day.
Yeah, all right. There totally was. Okay, hold on. Tom McCann. So you're hitting it at Tom McCann. You're doing the Al Bundy thing.
Yeah.
I bet you're picking up ladies, though, right?
I was at the Hollywood Mall over there in 441 and, near Pembroke Pine.
Randy don't even know about that.
I'm glad I don't.
Oh, no, God, dude,
it was,
man.
Now, here's the thing. It was... I was a sales guy at that point. I sold. So when people come in, I used to good commissions were good. Like, you got to buy the shoe cleaner. You got to buy the stuff to clean the shoe before. Yeah. And it, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I'll buy $5. You know, you make $3 in that bottle. You need socks. You got nice socks. You know, I was one of those guys. But the fucking manager was getting so pissed because I was selling shit.
Mm-hmm.
So one day he comes up to me, he goes, you really need to like really go back in the storeroom, make shit's fixed. I'm like, storeroom? I don't fucking get paid to be. Well, that's part of your job. And the guy busted my balls. And I remember just one day, and there was people in this.
You didn't want to go back there and redo the inventory in the back,
Fuck the inventory. That's not my job.
Oh, man, that was
job.
My favorite. Yo, I worked myself
away from
through
people?
College.
Yeah.
In a shoe store. Hey, I came up foot action because I played sports, so I wanted that discount.
Okay, see that? Yeah.
So I rolled foot action from 16. I bothered that lady for a year before I turned 16 so I could just walk right into that job. Got all discounts on my shoes, and I loved doing the stock in the back.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk to people. You don't got to spiff people.
See, some people are like doing that, leave me alone. And some people can talk, and
some people become accountants, and others become circus clowns.
Oh my
God. Hold on. So you didn't like your dude then, right? Your job?
I didn't mind it because I mean, listen, I wore a suit and a tie.
Oh
and
God!
I was an ugly suit because I was only.
Did they even give you like free shoes? Like we would get free shoes if you worked a certain amount of hours. And you had
care.
To wear to work or
so
like.
I got friends now that work at like the Nike outlet downtown in Palm Beach.
Super dope.
Yeah,
and they get like free shit all the time. Just drop it off. Like, hey, here's a gift from Nike. It's like, what, new Jordans? Like,
they do seminars and bring everyone shit.
For real,
I wasn't too excited about getting new Bostonians. Or some shit.
It was the kind of shoe store.
Yeah. But that was just so funny because now some hot chick comes in.
Okay.
Right, a black girl, a very hot girl comes in, and I'm like, I'm gonna help. And he goes, like, you need to be back there. I'm like, no, man. The stock room can wait. There's people here waiting to get help.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I sat her down in the thing and put her shoe in the thing, and it was all good.
All
and
sexy
shit.
Like.
Nice and smooth.
Yeah, man. I'm like, No,
yeah,
I'm
just, you did a little sniff?
Yeah. Right. No, I didn't sniff. I was just.
Little
wow,
whiff.
Yeah. Right. Listen. It's disgusting. I know. I
probably smells the shoe first.
You
hey.
Made a slurping noise when you took off her shoe.
The
so
sniff goes along with
like,
so who slurps with that? Is that how you smell? Are you a fucking lizard now? Slurp with a tongue? I had a whole different.
You did it.
No, I was just saying because I was sitting in front of her and she had like, you know, a dress
sexy.
On and shit. Yeah,
right.
Baby. I was like,
the question I need to ask: did you nail that sale?
No. Well, I nailed the sale. Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask me if I had.
But he didn't close the real deal. No.
I couldn't get that far.
He got the commission, but he didn't.
She bought some shoe polish.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he got.
I said, you need help? You need help polishing that shoe?
Getting those UPCs high.
Yeah. So, but and then the guy comes up to me. After he goes, you know, I really, you know, that was my sale because I sold the, like a fucking pair of boot, like three or four pairs of fucking shoes. I mean, it's like
$500. You're an amazing salesperson. Yeah, but, yeah, but like the best one in the store.
This was
right?
a kiss me sale. This woman wanted what she wanted.
Yeah?
It wasn't like I was like, you know, once she bought three or four pairs of different shoes, I go, well, you know, she's got money. Let's do this. So, mm-hmm. So it was like a $500 order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's money when you're getting paid shit in retail.
Yeah.
So the guy has nerve to come up to me after. He's like, you know, that was my sale. I was working on that. I go, did she make an appointment with you or something? She goes, no. And then I look and go, dude, this shit is not for me. You can go fuck yourself. And I walked out of the Tom McCann and never came back.
Now, can you imagine if this is in Vegas, right? And you're working at a weed dispensary.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude. That was my person to sell weed to, and you got a bunch of people arguing about who's going to sell weed when the shit's fucking legal now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of people going, well, I want some.
Yeah, it makes no sense, man.
But that'd be a great job, man. You know, like working at a weed. You know, hey, you know, it's almost like
I have a feeling it's a pretty high demand gig over there. I don't think anyone's just walking in and getting weed store gigs now.
You gotta know somebody, right?
Oh
can
yeah,
you imagine like
you
what's your experience with
somebody.
Weed? Well, I smoke it. It's like, oh, well, you're hired. It's like, all right.
Yeah. Catching there's actually the back now you need smoking. More qualifications
yeah, our,
now than that.
Yeah, our
know?
Drug test here is a little different. We want to make sure you can smoke a whole pound of weed and still talk smoothly.
So you got an hour. Here's the bag.
Yeah.
Joints,
smoke this.
Do what you got to do.
Grab a skateboard and a slushy.
And you need to do five Instagram videos while you're doing it. Make it legit.
That's right. We're going to make you drink a Slurpee in 2 minutes, smoke all this weed, and be able to speak without stuttering. I don't know if that's possible. That's a pretty big test. All right. So think about that, though. You know.
So that was your best customer?
Huh?
Would you say that was your best customer?
Oh, as a shoe salesman?
Yeah, that lady. See, that's why you had to go athletic shoes. I actually helped.
I always wanted
Muggsy
to work at the.
Bogues.
I was wanted
Bogues?
To
go. Yeah,
no shit.
I hooked him up with the whole outfit.
That was one of my items.
And,
growing up
I always wanted
that dude. I set him up, man. Shoes, matching socks, the whole nine.
Nice.
And you know, something like that, he just takes anything off the fucking.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's not,
money.
He's
like,
not looking at price tags. I always wanted to work at the Foot Locker. Like if you hung out at the mall,
that's what I'm saying.
That was the place. You the one of the shoe stores.
Foot Action was even more ghetto than Foot Locker when I worked there. Yeah, in the late '90s, 2000s, Foot Action was the one to do all the oversized tees and stuff.
The tall tees, remember the tall tees?
The massive tees, but it was great because what it helped us as salespeople is you could count on every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night right before close. Everybody who sold drugs would come in right then to get full outfits for the night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not just new shoes.
Right.
No, the whole
kickaboo,
yeah.
The whole
really?
Damn down to underwear and socks. Like anything you could
match.
Sell them.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Oh, God forbid
no
if it was early morning
object.
When a new pair of shoes were about to drop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
they'd be there
bro.
Waiting and fighting if they don't get the shoe they want. Yeah.
The excitement of a fucking... Foot Action
when
store.
Jordans were really, really big and they were coming out with like the collectors and stuff like that and they rebranded them and came back with like the whole new collector's edition stuff.
Right.
I have stories from my friends. Like I wasn't going to wake up, you know, 3 o'clock to sit outside of a store, finish line and stuff for them. But like I'd have friends be like, oh, like three fights broke out. Like I just barely got mine. I'm like, how much barely? Like $300. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'd rather sleep that.
No, I've worked those.
They're
I have
crazy.
Worked that. It's worse than any kind of holiday because you only got so many of each size.
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
And then God forbid you run out of them. You're like, well, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? I don't got. And it's like, hey, man.
People will buy sizes that are not their foot size to
just
have,
to have
the
them.
Yep.
Yeah. Like that one, funny commercial that little dude wears those big ass shoes.
Dude, it's
yeah.
like coming
it's like
and
roll
saying,
bounce.
I'm a 10, and I'll go, well, all I got is an 11 left, and they'll say, I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
See, okay, if you go a size bigger, you can wear, like, I've done it before, because, like, I was poor growing up, so he's got my brother's hand-me-downs,
mm-hmm.
and he was a size 12, I was a size 11.
You
so
did
I'd
the
put
extra
on, like,
sock?
Like two or three socks.
Yeah, tube socks.
But,
so away.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Well, that's cool.
The Tales of the Shoe Store.
Right. Al Bundy and friends.
Y'all didn't even know what was going on inside of Foot Action, did you? It was just
Now, how long did you
havoc.
Work there?
Oh, man, since from when I was 16.
Long
to
time then, years.
24.
Wow. Like, so you got like a forever membership
assistant
card?
Assistant manager during like college, I was an assistant manager, and then I turned into like a merchandise manager where I would just go around and do all like the dopest displays. So I would hook up all the displays around different stores in my region. Yeah.
Nice.
You got to make it work for you.
There you go. Oh, She's a worker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore.
It's that time.
Linda Lake's got what she wants.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and here in the States and make fun of them.
That's yeah, right. Now I do this.
All right.
So, way more productive.
Yeah, look at her. Here's a funny story. Florida family playing Call of Duty have police called on them by concerned neighbors.
I know someone this could have happened to.
Yeah.
Please tell me it's local.
Almost every weekend.
Really?
Is it local?
Yeah.
Where is this at? DeLand.
Wow. Oh, man. Look, this could totally be a family. I know. Shout out to the Sabos. Four TVs in the living room. They all got their own Xbox set up. Mom plays too.
Damn.
Yeah, no, everybody is on board.
So I could never get my mom to play Xbox, but when 007 was out for 64, my mom would fuck people up. We'd have friends come over, and we think we're bad at it. My mom would just be like, I'm hijo, pop, 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 pop. Just trying to kill everybody.
Wow.
Like, me and my brother got a set up at our place. We just bought a house in the backyard. We have a big-ass TV in the backyard, Xbox and a PlayStation hooked to that thing.
Uh-oh.
11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Playing it, soundbar, going off. I can see that happening in my house every week.
A virtual battle turned into some real-life drama for a Florida family when neighbors contacted police after thinking a gun battle was taking place. The city of DeLand said in a release that the officers had to respond to a home on November 15th after neighbors called to report a possible disturbance.
Oh, man, that's way better than when someone gets swatted.
Because that's what I was thinking
at first. But.
No, yeah, can you picture just be like, yeah, all you keep hearing is frag out. Frag, I don't know what that means. they just keep hearing frag out and an explosion.
I just see
two old people like, Harry, get down, Harry.
No, I'm going to get my gun. I got one left.
Someone's having a heart attack. Like,
they had heard a man and a woman yelling things, including, that's my gun. Give it to me. And please don't kill me. Hi, I'm calling because I hear my neighbors fighting down the street for me, and I'm a little concerned what they're saying. The person told 911. Could be heard saying she heard them screaming something like a woman saying, "Please don't kill me." When officers arrived at the home, however, they found out the couple was instead playing Call of Duty in their home. They were naked and doing coke, though. So, thankfully, it was not the situation police thought they were being called in for. The woman inside the home, Jamie McKee, it was the first time she was playing with her husband at their home with the windows open. See, that's what happened. We're getting some cold weather here in Florida.
The first time she's ever played, or the first time they ever played with the windows open? I don't know. I don't think we can tell. There's a little bit of a soundtrack going on behind us, so I kind of like it. It goes very well with the Call of Duty. Like, every so often I hear...
It was the first time she was playing with her husband at their home with the windows open.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's the problem. Yeah, windows open.
Windows closed. You got to isolate yourself. You know
body cam footage shows the officers going to the door, and McKee explaining to the officers that they're just playing a video game. That'd be interesting.
Man. And what they laughed and laughed. That's what did they show the end of the cam? Yeah. Like that had to be so hilarious.
The cops are probably like, "Well, what's your record? Like, can I get your gamer tag so I can play with you?" That's got to be hilarious. Cops come in like, everybody on the ground, like, what are you doing? We're trying to save the world right now, bro. What's wrong? What's going on?
No, you know what? Like, if it's a cop, too, they're probably standing at the door, and the one cop goes to the other one like, is that fucking Call of Duty? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not as naive as, like, an old
Maybe they're video game players. They would have caught up on
gonna
it.
They're going to know exactly when they came to the door. They're probably laughing up
they're
to
gonna
the
They're going to hear do frag out, be like, that sounds like the board on Call of Duty.
At least they weren't, like, overzealous Barney Fife types coming in with their guns ablaze. And, I'm going to kill somebody. Yeah.
Oh, what a story that would have been. Yeah. Oh, man.
Here's a
cops
story.
Cops come in shooting
after. It's a video game and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a gun. Well, it was a remote control. I didn't realize the difference. Here's our next story. A soccer referee banned by the FIFA organization after rock, paper, scissors blunder.
How do you feel about this, Dougie? That's your alley.
Listen, I refereed.
Okay.
I refereed for the ISKA in kickboxing matches. I'm a certified ref. I refereed up to like high school
soccer
and shit like that. But it turns out that the referee forgot a fucking coin. Okay? And he goes to the middle of the, you know, before the game, okay, you got it, hits his heads, this is tails, call it in the air. And they flip it, usually let it hit the ground. Some pricks put it in their hand, which you never trust.
Yeah.
Unless it's a real shitty field. If you're scared, you're going to lose the coin.
Pretty much.
Because there's fucking so much, it's like or a cow pasture.
Or Spanish kid is going to steal it, because that's
yeah. The hey, Pedro, yeah. Get the fuck away from this coin.
Arrow back on 5 feet.
It's an heirloom I have for my family for years. In London, referee David McNamara has been handed a 3-week ban by the English Football Association for asking two captains to play rock, paper, scissors to decide the kickoff before the Women's Super League.
How? Well, I mean, that's at least one way to do it. I was thinking I might do the whole, like, how many fingers am I holding up behind my back and have somebody else look to verify so there's no, like, funny stuff going on.
Can you imagine if that rock, paper,
hey,
scissors
Jeff
game...
Hey, Jeff Anderson, what's up, buddy?
If that rock, paper, scissors game took at least 20 minutes because, like, rock, paper, scissors, rock. Again, rock, paper, scissors, paper. God damn it. Rock, paper, scissors, scissors. Fuck. Rock, paper, scissors, scissors.
Yeah, they keep
fuck.
Doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's somebody, give the guy a fucking coin.
Yeah, right. Anybody got a quarter?
We're
nickel?
Delayed
dime?
Here at the yeah. Women's Championship. And no, it's not from weather, but this time it's rock, paper, scissors gone awry.
Yeah. Have another championship game.
They're
going
in double
on in
overtime.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the coin toss to decide who kicks off.
All right, so did they screw up the rock, paper, scissors execution, or is it just a blunder because they were forced to use rock, paper,
scissors?
Well, it's
kind of embarrassing, especially
for
English fans. Like, what the fuck's going on in there?
Yeah, what if they didn't know how to play rock, paper, scissors?
That's what I was
going to
say.
And they're like, what
it.
Is... So yeah. I have to hit my hand three times.
They're like 19-year-old chicks. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Throw a hand sign out? I don't understand.
Rock, paper, scissors?
This isn't gang-related. We're not
what
here.
What are we doing? Rock, paper, scissors? You want to play tic-tac-toe next, you fucking idiot?
All right, I got a handful, pocket full of sticks, okay? Where it pulls out the short stick wins.
A coin toss to decide a kickoff or who kicks off is a requirement under the laws of the game, but McNamara left his coin in the dressing room and allowed the captains to play rock, paper, scissors to determine the kickoff.
Every main referee's nightmare, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, fuck, where's my coin?
One job, bring a coin.
They have nightmare, like, dreams about that, getting to midfield for the coin toss, and there's they're looking for the coin.
I bet you there's
fall.
A rep who has at least, like, $4 in quarters sitting in his pockets.
Never going to happen to me.
Yeah, right.
Look at that ref, and it looks like a Wally Sparks moment with Roddy Dangerfield, where the guy's got like a fucking roll of quarters in his pocket, and he's
one
on national TV. No, he's on national TV running with a roll of quarters. Oh my God, look at the fucking dunk on that fucking guy.
So, if this happened to you, what would you do? Because you said
if
you
I didn't have a coin, yeah,
would you do the rock paper scissors too? Or would you be like, wait, hold on, and run to your car?
I would probably run to one of the coaches. Anybody got a coin? You know, or, you know, what else you do? I mean, that's where pride got in the way. The guy could have just said, okay, everybody, hold on a second. Because you have an assistant referee for a game like that who sits in the middle and
watches the shit happen.
You say, you got a fucking coin on your mate? You know, but this guy said, fuck it, let's play rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. This guy must have felt like, you know what? I'm the authority here.
Yeah,
I'm
making an executive decision here, God damn it. I'm going to real be an adult about this.
Yeah, you got banned, though, for playing a childhood game.
Yeah.
I know,
which
and
we
it
used
sounds...
to always play to establish who's going to be the winner.
All I'm saying
21
is
21-day suspension.
That's he crazy. Sounds really solution-oriented to me. I mean, look, there was a problem. They didn't have time to figure it out. He came up with a solution, and now he's being punished. And I don't know. I don't think that's fair. I'm going to stand with him.
That's not
yeah.
Fair.
This follows an incident in the league match between Manchester and Reading on Friday 20th October when he failed to determine which team would kick off the match by the toss of a coin as required by the laws. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, dude, just, if you're a fucking, referee, you wear the striped shirt or whatever you wear and a fucking coin in your pocket and a whistle around your neck.
Oh man.
That's all you need. You need a whistle and a fucking coin.
Yeah.
Right. And a watch.
What if he didn't know rock, paper, scissors is a solution? What game could he play on the fly?
What other thing could you do?
The finger behind your back.
I have a number in my head. Give me a number 1 through 10.
You just got to tell the number to somebody else and kind of verify.
And then you got
to
get somebody else involved. And he's now. That's why he was fucked. He didn't want to get anybody else. He didn't want to admit that he forgot a fucking coin.
Look,
he probably bought a condom in the fucking dressing room before he went, I'll get one of these before I go out there.
I don't know why they didn't see it as like a fun twist. Like, right. You know, like, oh, we're
no,
just, you
no,
know.
No, this
like,
is the English Premier League,
they're,
man.
They're serious, though, overseas about their soccer. Like,
this is fucking
like,
a religion, man.
That's like their football or baseball.
I feel like if that happened here during an NFL game, it would like catch on, and then soon it would be like the team could decide between the coin toss or the rock, paper, scissors, and then like a beer would sponsor it.
The way football's going now, probably. Yeah.
Although they said the ratings been up. I mean, boy, that one game, well, last week, the Sunday night game with fuck whatever it was, fucking between
the Rams and
that 100-point game.
And oh,
Rams
my
versus
God.
The Kansas City.
100 and something point game, 109 point game.
51 to 54.
Unbelievable. And one after another scoring.
And they projected it too. I think it was in the first quarter the way they scored the first quarter. Right. Like, this can go up to 100 something. Like,
well, the over under was 63. So that's a really high over under.
That's a nice
bet.
Yeah,
that's, so you got to know that it has to be. Chad, it's going to go way north of there.
Here's a story, since we're talking about England and across the pond.
Oh, yeah.
Family have a breakdown after a DNA test reveals truth about their heritage. A woman who shared the shock conversation that followed as her dad tried to come to terms with it. It's hilarious. Turns out...
they have like a video of it that went viral.
I'm American white. Oh, my God.
Tracking down your family history and learning about your ancestors can be really interesting. And you never know what you might discover. I went on Ancestry.com and found debt. I had bill collectors starting to call me. You're related to them. You owe me money. Fuck you. People love learning about where they came from and whether or not they're American Indian or not.
Yeah.
But only the family got a huge shock after a DNA test revealed everything they believed about their heritage was completely wrong.
Oh, no. Did they video? See, I want to see the video reaction, like the real-time moment, their face, when they realize.
It'd be a priceless moment. Like, I did 23andMe, and it answered some questions I needed, but then there's some stuff I'm like, all right, I still don't get it.
Is it just something
it
generic,
off,
like they went from Scottish to Irish,
no,
or they, are they like African-American?
She starts off by explaining that her uncle, on the Italian side of her family, went for a DNA test. But the results showed there was not actually any Italian at all. And her uncle's like, that ain't possible. That's not the possible. Hey, anybody want a pizza? Hey.
Can you imagine your love for pizza and pasta was ruined?
We had a guy that we played soccer with. We were in high school.
Yeah.
And when Italy won the World Cup in, I'm trying to remember,
long
80
time ago.
Something, 82, 84. I remember what the year was. All of a sudden, he had like an Italian accent.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Greg. We called him Grego because he'd say, because all of a sudden, after Italy won the World Cup, he's like, hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, and I'm like, what the fuck, man?
So
it's like when people sounded like Jeff Spicoli after like Fast Times, everybody got that, hey, bud. You
walk around sound like Super Mario from the rest, the rest of being.
I have a question about that real quick that I didn't think of before, but I'm thinking about it now with the DNA stuff. So let's say you think your grandfather, okay, my grandfather came here directly from Italy, was born in Italy.
Are you
has an
to
Italian?
Or?
No, not that I'm aware of. But for all intents and purposes, right, you would think of him as an Italian man.
Right.
Now, what happens if I go DNA him,
right?
And we find out that he had, in fact, migrated from Greece and is really of some kind of Greek. Does that no longer make him Italian, even though he was born in Italy, raised in Italy, spoke Italian?
Just means his ancestry is.
Well, see, that's
if you're born in a country, then you're that nationality.
Right? Okay.
One.
So,
but it's like if somebody's Asian and they're born in England.
Well, it sounds like her whatever was born in that country, like he was Italy.
This was some
he
funny.
Just wasn't Italian.
This was so the guy had a mental breakdown.
Oh God!
And
over
then
this?
After the test came,
pasta everywhere.
Yeah,
fucking this shit. Goes,
my
dad,
my dad is yelling at his brother. Why did you do this? Why did you do this?
What if it?
Well,
what if they're like
being Italian is pretty cool. So I wouldn't want to be downgraded to.
Oh my God, we're not Italian. We're Polish.
Yeah.
Yo, what? What if they find out what they are like? Say they're like Indian, and instead of them yelling at them like, eh, why did you do this? Their whole accent said, why did you do this? Yeah. Why did you?
Oh
why
my
did
God,
you
it's taking effect right away. I don't
I
have time
I
to
can't
just.
I can't talk like this anymore. I can't do it.
Oh, my God. Dad is currently yelling an excessively Italian accent at his brother at my stepmom.
See, I still need a video of this.
I want to see that
argument.
Man. That his life has been ruined. Currently looking at a map to try to figure out if we could be from, like, the Italian part of Switzerland.
That's funny.
I don't even like a Swiss cheese.
Oh my God.
I don't know. See, Ancestry and 23andMe and stuff, that's a good tool, but it's a dangerous one too.
Yeah, well,
I was gonna ask about that.
Fucked up that family's
DNA
life, like,
collection on everyone.
Like when I did mine, like I knew I was like Puerto Rican and all this stuff kind of like checked out. But then it started saying like I'm from like I got like a percentage of me from like Nigeria and so I'm like, all right, now this is kind of.
I'm wondering if I go back in there because like where I like part of my father's Portuguese, mother's Spanish, but through my father's side, when I met a lot of my father's family when I was in Europe, you know, from Gibraltar and that area there, there's some Moroccan, like they could be okay. Part of me that was Moroccan or like, you know, that part of the Middle Eastern. Who knows? I could be like, la, la, la. I could be a fucking.
Like, I'll show you guys mine. You guys are going to be like, I never would see that in you. Like, yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, that's
okay, so you both have done it. I got it for Dan.
No, I haven't done it.
Okay.
I'm the only one here.
You did it?
Yeah.
Okay. So are we anyone fearing that we're all collecting data on everyone with these? You know, because if you go read the terms, which I did when I bought Dan's
of
to pick
you
one
did.
That
would
had
you buy one though from Ancestry or 23andMe?
Neither of them. I forgot the name of it, but it's the only one that doesn't sell and keeps all the information completely private. Yeah, I can't. I wish I could remember it off the top of my head. But anyway, most of them, when you sign away the rights to your DNA,
right?
Anyone find that to be a problem?
Like somebody could, but they don't have enough DNA to manufacture, do they?
On 23andMe, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, there's a part on it where you can tell them this needs to stay private on my DNA. It cannot be shared. It cannot be, and they have to.
Yeah,
agree
well,
to that.
That's
yeah.
shared with their network of other people who get their DNA done, but they still own your DNA and can sell it the way people sell email lists. I think.
Well, I don't like trust. That's why I don't do any
that's
of that
what
shit.
I'm saying.
I don't trust
yeah,
any of that
of,
shit.
There's a lot of
I don't fucking. I'm not that interested. I am not that,
that
interested in knowing where the fuck I'm from.
Well, if you need
I'm more. I'm more concerned about where the fuck I'm going. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, wow, what
there's
a
two,
lie.
There's right. two people on this earth. They're the people that are in the fucking front of a fucking boat going, okay, I'm interested in what's going to happen in my life. And there's the other people in the back going, where have I? What's happened in my life? Well, they keep looking back. Look forward. Fuck that.
Well, what if they need to put like you in the front and me in the back so we can even it out?
Well, wait. That's not. Then we're both looking in opposite
directions.
But what
if we're both looking in the same direction? Like, Dougie, just tell me what's up there. I want to know. Like,
yeah, well, you find out your own fucking future. You're in your own fucking lane. Speaking of lanes, teen's driver's license revoked in under an hour after getting it. This fucking kid. And a German police department shared the cautionary tale of a teenager whose driver's license was revoked just 49 minutes after it was issued.
How?
He sped to his friend's house.
How?
When I left,
when I got my license, it took me like 4 or 5 months to even be allowed to drive
right.
after that because my mom was like, I still don't trust you, piece of shit. I'm like, all right.
And this motherfucker was on the Autobahn doing 180. police in the Märkischer Kreis region. Said in a Facebook post that the 18-year-old was caught going 60 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone.
Oh, that could have been me.
I'd do that. No, I'm not going to lie. I'd do that.
Yeah, 30-mile-an-hour zone.
55 on a 30 easily.
My car idles at 30, okay?
My parents let me drive around the neighborhood in the Suzuki Jeep at 13.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
13 years old.
My pops
a neighborhood in Florida,
like
too.
In the old station wagons, you know, the old couch seats kind of thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When my dad would be in the car driving, he always let
put
us,
put you on
like,
lap and let you drive?
No. He'd, like, let us steer, you know, like, steer from this passenger seat.
Oh.
You know, like, at least. So I remember one time we were at Eckerd Drugs.
All right.
441 near Margate.
Throwback word.
Yeah, the Eckerd Drugs. And I remember sitting there, and we were at the Eckerd Drugs in line, and I'm all excited because I'm like, Dad, will you let me drive home again? Will you let me drive home? You know, whatever. And these people in line look back, and my older brother goes, you shut the fuck up, you idiot. You know, like, everybody's going,
you're blowing
dad.
It for everyone.
When I was skinny back when I was like 4 years old, 5 years old, my dad jokingly would sit me on like his leg and let me like act like I'm driving, even though he's holding it. But that's like as far as I ever got. Doing that, but then I was like 13. I used to have a Jeep. My dad had a Jeep, and he's like, you can drive around the neighborhood to practice. And then one time I ate a curb, he's like, park that shit right fucking now. And then ever since then, I was like 17 before I got to drive again.
Oh man,
yeah,
no,
bad.
That's not what happened to me.
I just
take the Jeep to your friend's yeah. house.
Wow,
like 13 or 14.
You know what's fucked up though? My dad trusts me driving a motorcycle at 17 before he would let me take the damn car.
That's crazy, especially in, I don't know if you're in Florida.
Because on a motorcycle,
then,
you only
no, I, was,
fuck
I lived in Florida since I was like 6.
You can only fuck yourself up on a motorcycle.
I think
a
that's
car,
why.
You can fuck someone else.
Exactly.
My dad
sued.
Had like 3 motorcycles. He's like, you need to go to basketball practice for high school? Take the bike. I'm like, all right.
What?
I'm riding to freaking
that's
college high school on a motorcycle with a freaking gym bag hanging from my back just fucking hauling ass. My dad's like, wear the full helmet because if a cop sees you, you look big enough to be an adult. I'm like, all right.
We had one of those red scooters. You know, the ones that we were able to take that around.
Mopeds and shit.
Yeah. Those are fun, especially in like little towns. Those are fucking fun. Yeah. You ride them bitches up on a curb.
That's why you go to the Caribbean and stuff. You always rent them. I got in trouble because my dad used to fix cars. He was an auto mechanic. So sometimes he had some badass cars when I was 15. Or I'd take them fucking.
That's next level.
I took a Jaguar one time he had. It was like. They were doing something, and it was late at night, and I took it down, which is now Atlantic Boulevard, to where there's, like, nothing out there, which is called, there's nothing out here but farmland and shit.
Yeah,
and I fucking got up to 150 miles an hour. Fuck that. Dude, that fucking car. And one time my dad had one of these Mustangs, like a souped-up Mustang. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I took it, and I got stuck on Rock Island in Atlantic.
Oh,
it stalled,
man.
And I go, fuck, and I had to call, Dad, I took the car for, he goes, you what?
Did he meet you with a wrench in
hand?
Yeah,
he had to fucking come with a wrench, and they're like, Dad, don't kill me. By the way, this particular person said he was driving fast to impress his friends and shit.
I think everyone drives fast in Europe.
Yeah.
There was some new town recently. They put up one of those, like, those speeding cameras. And in, like, some record, like, 3 days, it, like, trapped, like, thousands upon thousands of people. Like,
in the States?
No. It was in Europe someplace that they put it up. And it was this place. And it's just, like, crazy. Everyone who drives there is, like, excessively speeding. Yeah.
I wonder what kind of like what the average car make is there though, because I mean if you have a slow ass car, you're not going to be doing 80,
no they all have these tiny little cars in Europe and they all go really really fast.
Oh yeah,
I
they're
fast,
made they're
it's like
charged,
90
like,
100 yeah.
They're
little.
All souped up like for short like small like in Europe all the a lot of the streets are small like yeah. Like there's cars like there's Ford like last time I was in Gibraltar in Spain, there's a Ford make that you never seen here, but it was like a little sports car.
Yep.
And they purposely make them like fast and winding. But they're like they're small because they get these
they're
little
like
European
mini cars.
Street,
yeah.
And they're fast, like ring, like little fucking racers.
Gotcha. Okay.
One of our last stories today, I think, if not the last, video shows the Arizona fire started with a gender reveal party.
Oh man!
Now this is in Arizona. This isn't the big
this
one
isn't
in California.
California.
The campfire one they called. But can you imagine? Like, first of all, this is this is just. The devastation of that fire eclipses anything from a hurricane, a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Flagstaff, Arizona, a video released by the U.S. Forest Service shows how a gender reveal event led to a costly wildfire in the southern Arizona that forced about 200 people from their homes.
God, imagine getting the bill for that.
Can you imagine the anger of the
We're having
dude.
A baby, and it'll be broke until it has kids.
For real.
The kid is never going to college.
The kid's never going to college. Nope. He's going to work for the forestry for fucking... next, his kids will work
first
for the forestry.
First job at 15 is him picking up shit in the burnt-down forest.
Fucking.
Can you imagine it? Like, they're like, all right, gender reveal, and like they pop off whatever it is. Dude's like, fuck, a girl, and just throws a cigarette on the floor. Boosh, there it is right there. Bad decision.
He wasn't happy with the reveal. The information gleaned from the video isn't new, but it's the first public visual... quickly, the tall, dry grass at on state land near Green Valley went up in flames after an off-duty U.S. Border Patrol agent fired a rifle at a homemade target. The rectangular target with diamond-checkered design marked with boy or girl explodes, sending a blue substance into the air.
Oh, it's cool. He's having a boy.
No, good job.
Yeah.
A person who identified was blacked out in the 49-second video moves toward the flames after a few seconds. As embers and debris rise above the mesquite and the acacia trees, then backs up, and another unidentified person moves across the screen from the right to the left.
And then you see the entire party run to their cars and speed away.
A male voice in a panicked voice twice shouts, "Start packing up!"
It's like, hey, party's over, folks. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here before Smokey Bear shows up.
Oh, my God.
Run, bitch, run.
Agent Dennis Dickey told authorities he constructed the target with a substance known as tannerite that detonates when hit by a bullet from a high-velocity firearm, according to the court documents. See, we need assault rifles.
Yeah, people love their guns in this country.
He repaired it
for the gender reveal.
He reported...
Yep. Baby dies accidentally at a gender reveal party.
That's why I have
irony hits.
I have my AR-15 just so I can reveal that I'm having a boy. He reported the fire immediately to law enforcement on April 23rd and was cooperative with Forest Service. At least he didn't fucking be like a pussy and run.
Oh, he couldn't. Not with his job. Yeah. He'd lose everything.
Own that shit.
Like some immigrant.
He's still employed.
Get out of
He's
there.
Still employed, by the way.
Well, it was an accident. And yeah. Whatever.
It's... He did plead guilty on September to federal misdemeanor charge of starting a fire without a permit.
Oh, what that? What's a fee what? For that? Yeah.
Hold on. They really charged him with that?
Yeah.
Because it was.
Oh, I'm sure he got all kinds of penalties.
He was sentenced
fees,
to follow. Let's see. The damage to state federal was $8 million in damage to the state. I think he pled guilty, blah, blah, blah. He was sentenced to following. He sentenced the following month to five years of probation. He also was ordered to make an initial payment of $100,000 restitution and monthly payments of $500.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
That kid.
So expensive already. Isn't yeah, even out of
goes,
the bag.
He isn't even out
oh
yet.
My God.
He just cost $100,000.
You're like, you know what? What if I did get this abortion? This kid didn't have to live in this bullshit ass life I'm about to provide for him.
That fucking kid.
Even better. The wife's probably going, I told you to do the cake.
Oh,
we
yeah.
were supposed to do the cake. I wanted to do. I wanted to do
why
the pinata.
Why couldn't we just do the box that just popped up with the balloons? Yeah.
It wasn't. It really wasn't my idea to do it, was it?
Yeah, for real.
I told you the gun thing would be stupid.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't he is say, never going to hear the end of that.
I know. Look here, Becky. Look, I have a great aim. Okay, I can nail the target. Just put powder in there. I'll tell you which one it is.
I don't want to say I told you so, but.
Right,
I told you
gonna
so.
Gonna be amazing.
That $500 a month for the rest of your fucking life is gonna be the cost of that.
Think about that.
You know what kind of winning argument this guy's gonna have on his kids? Be like, hey, Dad, why don't I go to college? You know why you don't go to college? Pay $500 a month just to have you. Okay.
Hey, I remember the first time the kids would go, Daddy, can I get the PlayStation 18? Go fuck yourself, kid.
Right.
Here's a tic tac toe board.
You want to get shit? You get your own goddamn job. I'm only six. Doesn't fucking matter. Okay. I'm paying $500 a month.
You owe your life to the fire department.
For real,
you're going to be working for them the rest of your life.
You said 5 years probation. What is that against like starting fires in public or what? What is he on probation
well,
for? We're going to be watching you very closely inside parks, sir.
People are going to be following him like, is that a match?
Yeah.
Put that shit down.
The guy's not going to be able to buy a lighter for fucking 5 years.
Yeah, for real.
Right? The guy can't do nothing. He's going to be sitting at a barbecue. So, excuse me, sir. Please get away from the grill.
Yo, can you imagine if
you
had a
smoking
habit,
I'm going to need you 25
too?
Feet from the grill.
Yeah, what, if you, like a habitual cigarette smoker, and now they're like, you know what? You can't smoke cigarettes now. That man's going to go bad shit
sir,
crazy.
We're gonna seal your fireplace in your home.
We're gonna give
no
you
more
a,
fireplace.
We're going to give you a vape.
Matter of fact, the toaster oven. We're taking your toaster oven out of the house.
You know what? You got metal stuff, too, and you probably put it in the microwave.
You
we're going to take the microwave.
Yeah,
also.
Fuck you. No fireworks ever. You'll never have a firework ever.
That would suck. Dad, can we light a fireworks?
Matter of fact, on the 4th of July, we want you to come to the fucking fire department and sit in our fucking bathroom all night.
We're going to need you to clean the fire department.
Yeah, you're
going to
clean our toilets on the 4th of July. We don't want you near that
it's
shit.
It's going to be you, your wife, cleaning everything. And we're going to put your son, and we're going to face him in front of a wall.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, what am I looking at? Nothing, thanks to your father.
We're going to make him hold a hot piece of coal for 30 seconds.
Right.
Just to let him know how much you burn the state.
Wow.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Again, I want to thank Minda for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Randy Vega.
Appreciate you having me, bro.
But, guys, don't forget two things. Thursday, we're going to have a special Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Probably around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. It'll be announced on our Wake Up Late with Dougie show fan page on Facebook with Brian Scolaro.
All right.
Our guest here in the studio, along with James Camacho. But that said, Wednesday night, Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's is starring Brian Scolaro, myself. Host James Camacho is the host, and John Lovelace, local comic, will be on the show.
Funny
a guest spot. Thursday night, if you're in Coconut Creek, go to the Coconut Creek Seminole Casino and join us. Well, I won't be there, but go to Legends Lounge for the Color Purple Comedy Hour, starring Dustin Chafin and Jimmy Schubert.
Nice.
$25 minimum donation, and it's a great show for Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
Very nice.
There you go. Friday night, catch me and my buddy Nadim opening for me at Lakeland Winter Circle.
Nice.
In Lakeland at Winter Circle. Come out 9 o'clock. I think it's like $10 a ticket. So go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page, like I mentioned. And, of course, go to Wake Up Late Dougie Show at Podbean.com for archive sites. Aminda?
If you're going to follow me, I'm everywhere at Minda is Awesome. Next Comedy Basement show in Deerfield is December 15th. So come on out for that. Yeah. Get all festive and shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You can catch me this Saturday at the Robot Brewery. I'll be working with the Fresh Drunk and Stone tour going on there. It's a good group of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be
Tim
there,
Hanlon,
too.
Yeah, Franco
Harris,
Matt Ballack. Yeah, fun show.
Yeah, it's going to be a really dope show, man. You guys catch me there. And I'll follow me on all social media at Funny Gingerican.
There you go, guys. Also, I'm going to be at the Comedy Inn on Monday night, Saturday night. Doing a spot with Brian Scolaro. Dustin will be there. James Camacho. Like I said, check us out. Join us back here on Thursday with Brian Scolaro in the studio. Other than that, guys, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back here on Thursday right at the same spot. Take care.
Children of the sun.